Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Why Place Matters: Geography, Identity, and Civic Life in Modern America, is a work of social and political analysis about the connection between physical location, personal identity, and democratic citizenship. Associated with historian Wilfred Mem McClay and the New Atlantis book series, the volume belongs to the tradition of civic thought, cultural criticism, and public policy reflection rather than technical urban planning. Its central concern is that modern American life often weakens durable attachment to neighborhoods, towns, regions, and local institutions through mobility, economic abstraction, digital connection, and centralized administration. The book asks why these attachments are not merely sentimental but necessary for forming responsible citizens. It treats place as a medium through which people inherit memory, practice obligation, and learn public responsibility. The purpose is diagnostic and constructive to explain the erosion of place-based identity and to consider how communities, policymakers, and citizens might recover stronger forms of local belonging without ignoring modern social complexity. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, place as a formative source of identity. A central idea in Why Place Matters is that geography is not a neutral container for human life. Homes, neighborhoods, towns, and regions influence the way people understand themselves because they provide shared references, inherited practices, visible memories, and everyday routines. The book challenges the assumption that identity is formed only by individual preference, national ideology, or abstract social categories. Instead, it argues that persons become intelligible to themselves through situated relationships, the streets they know, the institutions they use, the landscapes they recognize, and the local histories they inherit. This does not mean that place determines character in a simplistic way. Rather, place offers the concrete setting in which identity becomes disciplined by obligation and memory. A person who belongs somewhere is more likely to see life as embedded in a chain of responsibilities rather than as a series of isolated choices. The book, therefore, treats attachment to place as a civic and moral resource. It gives identity density, continuity, and accountability, especially in a society where mobility and consumer choice often encourage people to imagine themselves as detached from inherited communities. Secondly, mobility and placelessness as pressures on civic life. The book gives sustained attention to the modern weakening of place-based attachment. American life has long valued movement, opportunity, and reinvention. But Why Place Matters asks what is lost when mobility becomes a dominant social condition. Frequent relocation can expand opportunity, yet it can also reduce the incentive to invest in local relationships, learn local problems, or sustain institutions that require long participation. The book links this condition to a broader sense of placelessness, in which communities become interchangeable and civic responsibility becomes thin. If people expect to leave, they may treat schools, streets, churches, businesses, and local governments as temporary services rather than common goods. And way, the argument is not a rejection of movement or modern freedom. It is a warning that freedom without rootedness can produce citizens who are consumers of places rather than stewards of them. This analysis is especially relevant to suburbs, metropolitan regions, and digital culture, where social connection can appear abundant while durable local membership declines. The book frames this loss as political as well as personal, because democratic life depends on people who remain involved long enough to deliberate, compromise, and repair common institutions. Thirdly, local institutions as schools of democratic responsibility. Why Place Matters emphasizes that civic life is learned through participation in local institutions. City councils, neighborhood associations, schools, congregations, voluntary organizations, libraries, and local newspapers help citizens encounter practical problems at a human scale. These institutions teach habits that cannot be fully supplied by national politics' patience, negotiation, trust, memory, and accountability to neighbors. The book suggests that local self-rule matters because it gives citizens a direct relationship to public consequences. When decisions are made only through distant systems, citizens may become spectators of politics, expressing opinions but rarely practicing responsibility. Local institutions counter that tendency by placing people in settings where action is visible and where public life has names, faces, and consequences. This does not idealize every local community as harmonious or just. Local life can be exclusionary, parochial, or resistant to needed change. The book nevertheless argues that democracy needs intermediate institutions that stand between isolated individuals and centralized authority. They cultivate civic competence by letting people practice governance before politics becomes abstract. In this sense, place is not simply where democracy occurs. It is one of the conditions that makes democratic character possible. Fourthly, the difficulty of deliberate placemaking in modern communities. A distinctive practical concern in the book is how communities can recover a stronger sense of place without pretending that tradition can simply be manufactured. Placemaking is attractive to planners, policymakers, and civic leaders because it promises more livable streets, recognizable public spaces, and stronger social connection. Yet the book treats this task with caution. Genuine attachment usually grows through time, repeated use, shared memory, and local initiative. It cannot be created entirely by design standards, branding campaigns, or top-down redevelopment. The challenge is to create conditions under which organic civic life can take root. This means paying attention to scale, walkability, public gathering spaces, local institutions, and the preservation of meaningful landmarks, while also allowing communities to adapt to new residents and economic realities. The book is especially useful because it does not reduce place to aesthetics. Attractive buildings and public spaces matter, but they are insufficient if residents lack authority, continuity, or reasons to cooperate. Deliberate placemaking must therefore combine physical design with institutional trust and civic participation. The book presents place as something partly built, partly inherited, and partly sustained through repeated common action. Lastly, balancing rooted belonging with national and modern realities. The book stands out because it does not treat attachment to place as nostalgia alone. It addresses a real tension in modern America. Citizens need rooted communities, but they also live in a large, mobile, diverse, and economically integrated nation. A healthy sense of place cannot mean withdrawal from national obligations or suspicion of outsiders. Instead, why place matters points toward a layered understanding of belonging. People can be attached to a neighborhood, city, region, and country at the same time, and each layer can deepen rather than cancel the others. Local belonging becomes politically valuable when it teaches citizens how to care for particular goods while remaining aware of broader responsibilities. This balance matters in a diverse society because places are not static inheritances owned by a single group. They are continuously shaped by newcomers, memory, conflict, and institutional choices. The book therefore invites readers to think about rootedness as a civic practice rather than an ethnic or purely sentimental claim. Place matters because democracy needs citizens who know how to love the particular without losing sight of justice, mobility, and national membership. In conclusion, Why Place Matters is best suited for readers interested in civic renewal, political theory, urban and regional life, local government, public policy, and American cultural criticism. It will be useful to scholars who study democracy and community, but also to city officials, planners, educators, nonprofit leaders, and citizens concerned about weakening public trust. Its practical benefit lies in clarifying why local attachment is not a decorative feature of community life. The book helps readers see that durable places support civic habits, participation, memory, stewardship, and responsibility for common goods. Its intellectual benefit is that it connects questions often treated separately, including geography, identity, institutional design, and democratic character. Compared with many books on urban planning, it is less focused on technical development formulas and more concerned with the moral and civic meaning of place. Compared with nostalgic defenses of small-town life, it is more analytical about the pressures of mobility, modern administration, and pluralism. Compared with national political commentary, it shifts attention downward to the settings where citizens actually learn public life. The book stands out because it frames place not as scenery or lifestyle preference, but as a foundation of civic formation. Its value is strongest for readers looking for a thoughtful bridge between cultural diagnosis and practical concern for local communities. If you would like to support Wilfred M. McClay, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.